Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanihim Began Eden. Amen. Daf Nun Bet. We are on the Amud Rishon. 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the top. Today's Daf has been honored and dedicated in honor of Albert from Sunny. Today's Daf is being studied Leidun Ishmat Avraham Ben Esther and Baruch Rafael ben Miriam, Ruach Hashem Tanihem began Eden. And the Gemara begins. Tana Debe Menashia. We have a statement from the Yeshiva of Menashia. Rez Shehakak La Ben Karneha Yotza Beabsar Beshabbat. A goat whose owner carved out, let's say, holes in its horns, between its horns. Yotza be'afsar b'shabbat. They can place this afsar, which was like this leash that they used to have, this made out of a rope. They would place it in between the horns, and since there's holes in the horns, they're able to fix it in the horns so it won't fall out. So therefore on Shabbat, it would be permissible for the goat to go out with this afsar in between its horns. Rashi says, Yotza be'afsar im tahabu b'hakikat keren. If they thrusted it into the hole of the horn, avad b'kshira be'alma lo. But just to tie it to the horns is not enough. Dilma shalfa mereshe. We're concerned that maybe the goat will shake it off its head. Mitoch shirosha dakos. It has a very narrow head. Mitnateket dekanul kan. And the goat shakes its head from side to side. Kishemoshchin otam, when you pull it. And what are we concerned that if it's going to fall off? We're concerned that the owner might pick it up and carry it. So therefore, only if it has carvings in its horns where it's able to get fixed in the horns tightly, therefore there's no concern that it might fall off. So that's the first deen, the deen of the goat. Ba'e Rabbi Yosef. So the Gemara has a question. Tahav la biskana ma'u. If let's say you want to place the afsar in the goat's beard, meaning let's say you'll take the beard of the goat, make a hole, or make like a ring, I should say, out of the beard, and place the rope through it, and therefore let it hang through its beard. Is that permissible? Why? What's the question? Why should a beard be different? So the Gemara says, Kevan di'i minatahla ka'ivle. Because I could say that if the goat is going to try to take it off, it'll hurt a beard. So therefore, she's not going to try to pull it off. No atyalinatuha. So she's not going to try to cut it loose. However, or just maybe when you place it in the beard, it's just loose by nature because you can't put it through the beard tightly. And it might fall off, and the fellow might come to carry it for amot in the Rishut Rabim. The Gemara answers to this question, Tiku. This question is going to remain for Eliyahu Hanavi. So again, we just learned two dinim. The first din was the goat in its horns. We only permit to put the afsar if there's carvings in the horns, so it'll stay tightly. The second din is putting it in its beard. Then we have a safek, and the Gemara leaves that in a abeyance. Gemara goes back to what we learned in the Mishnah. And we learned the machloket yesterday regarding Shemirah Yitera. We learned that if you place something on an animal, that is an excessive Shemirah, which means normally when you put a leash on the animal, it's to protect the animal. What does it mean to protect the animal? That the owner can hold on to it in order to guide it, in order that the animal doesn't go astray. So every animal has a certain level of protection that it needs in order for the owner to make sure it doesn't run astray. So we learned yesterday in Mahloket that if you overprotect the animal, so some rabbis wanted to say that that's considered carrying because it's not necessary. You could have got away with a less item, and it's not the derech to put that item on the animal. Or do we say, no, that certainly it's protected with something that is more protective, and therefore it is permissible. Actually, that was the opinion of Hananya that said it's permissible. So now we're going to go back to that subject. Tananatam. We learned in a Mishnah, Velo birtsua sheben karnea. on Shabbat, a cow is not allowed to go out in the public domain with a strap between its horns. They would tie, let's say, a strap across. So the Gemara has a machloket on this. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba Peligi bar Rabbi Shmuel. We have a machloket between Rabbi and Shmuel regarding the strap that they place between the horns of the cow. Had Amar ben Lenoi ben Leshamer Atzur. One says that whether the strap is for decoration purposes or whether it's in order to control the cow, which is to protect it, it is still forbidden. The had amar l'noy asur. And one says, no, if the strap is for decoration purposes, asur. Ul shamer mutar. But if you're using it to protect the cow, to control it, then it would be permissible. So comes again what Ram says, Amar of Yosef, Tistayim, let us conclude, the Shmuel hu de Amar, Lenoi Asur Leshamer Mutar. Let us say that it is the opinion of Shmuel. He's the author that says that for decoration purposes it's forbidden, it would be considered carrying, but Leshamer Mutar, that if you're doing it to control the cow, it would be permissible. Why are we assuming that? Amar Avuna Bar Chayamar Shmuel, Halakha Kahananya. Because we have a clear statement in the name of Shmuel that we learned yesterday, that he said that Halakha follows Hananya, that if you place something on the animal of excessive restraint, it is permissible. And we know that a cow doesn't really need this strap across its horns at all. And therefore, this would be considered Shemira Yitera. And still Shmuel is telling you, Im Leshamer Mutar. So therefore, it must be his opinion. The statement was that the Shemir Mutar, that must be Shemuel that holds Shemira Yitraz Mutar. How do we know that's Shemuel's opinion? Because he was posek like Hananya. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar le Abaye. So Abaye comes along and tells Rabbi Yosef, Adrabah, on the contrary, Tistayim, the Shmuel hu damar ben Nanoi ben Shemir Asur. I can conclude that it is Shmuel's opinion that says whether you put it for decoration purposes or whether you put it for control purpose of the animal, it's asur, meaning Shmuel is the other opinion. How do you know that? Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Because we have a statement, another statement of Shmuel that says, which we learned yesterday, Mahlifin Lifnei Rabbi. Yesterday we learned that they asked questions to the Rabbi, switching the cases. Shilzu Bezu Mahu. Which means we discussed the question that they asked in front of Rabbi. If you, let's say, switch and place the different restraints on different animals. So the Gemara says, Amar lefanav Rabbi Yishmeb Rabbi Yoseh. So Rabbi Yishmeb Rabbi Yoseh said, Kach Amar Abba. This is what my father Rabbi Yoseh taught. Arba behemot yotzot be'afsar. There are four animals that go out with the afsar. Hasus, haperet, vagamal, vahamor. Sus would be the horse. Peret is the mule. Gamal is the camel, Hamor is the donkey. So, from the fact that Rabbi Yosef said only four go out with an afsar, lav lemeute gamal bechatam. So, if he said must be, it's coming to exclude that a camel goes out with a afsar, which is sufficient protection for the animal. However, not with a hatam. The hatam, we said, is that nose ring that they would place in the animal in order to protect it. But since a camel does not need such a protection, so that would be considered excessive, and therefore shemira yitera. So you see from the statement of Rabbi Yosef that the camel can only go out with an afsar and not a hatam. So you see, it sounds like excessive restraint would be forbidden. And the Gemara continues and says, and who made that statement? This statement was made by Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So therefore you see clearly Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel that asked the question, and this was the answer that was given. So it seems that he holds Shemira Yitra is Asur. So therefore the Gemara says, Sameha Mekameha, which literally means take away this statement in front of that statement, which means that we have two statements. One statement is Mashma Shmuel said Halakha follows Hananya, which is Mashma Shemira Yitera is permissible on Shabbat. We have another statement of Shmuel that's Mashma that Shemira Yitera is forbidden. So how are we going to reconcile both these statements? So therefore we have to say that one of these statements we have to delete. So which statement are we going to delete? we're going to say that the statement that he made, that halakha follows Hananya, we're going to take that statement away. So the Gemara says, "Umay hazet msamet ha mekameha." I mean, who told you to take away that statement that the Yehuda goes like Hananya, and therefore you're going to take the other statement that says he forbids shemira yetera, sameha mekameha? Eliminate the other statement, the second statement, and say he does go like Hananya. The shemira yetera is mutar. Dashkehan Shemuel hu de amar, because clearly we did find in another place that Shemuel does indeed hold lenoi asur leshamer mutar. That what? That if he's doing it for shemirah, it's mutar, and therefore excessive control of the animal would be permissible. How do you know Yiddish Shmuel said that? Deitmar, because we have a statement of Hayah bar Ashe Amar Rav Ben Lenoi Ben Shemir Asur. That if Hayah bar Avin Amar Shemuel, but if Hayah said the name of Shemuel, Lenoi Asur Leshemer Mutar. That clearly, that if you're putting the Atsar on the cow, if you're doing it to control it, it's permissible, even though it's considered excessive. So therefore, the Gemara says, we wanted to know who's the author of the statement that says if you put the afsad on the cow, it is permissible on Shabbat if you're doing it to control it. It's not considered cowry. So he said, oh, that statement is Shemuel. So when the other rabbi came along and said, why is it Shemuel? Oh, because we have a statement that says Shemuel was posek like Hananyan. Hananyan was matir shemira yitera. Oh, but we have another statement of Shemuel. Shemuel's mashma, that it's asur, that the camel can only go out with an afsar, but he cannot go out with a hatam. So the Gemara says, fine. How could you have these two statements over here? You have to delete one of the statements. Both statements cannot coexist. So the Gemara originally thought to get rid of the statement that he goes like Hananyah. But the Gemara says, why take away that statement? Take away the other statement, there's the second statement that we quoted. So therefore the Gemara says, fine, we'll take away that statement because we have another statement of Shmuel that clearly says, Leshamir Mutar. So at this point we're saying, Shmuel would hold, Shemira Yetera is permissible. So comes the Gemara and says, Metive. Now we have a question. Keshara Be'alea Be'mosera Keshera. Here we're discussing a Para Aduma. One of the laws of the Para Aduma is it is not allowed to have any burden on it. If the Para Aduma carries something, it becomes pasul. You cannot use it for the purification process. So it says, Keshara Be'ala Be'mosera. If let's say the owner of the Para Aduma, they tied a leash to it. They put a leash around its neck and they tied it. So it says Keshara. That's not considered a burden on it. Now if you're going to say, like the first opinion, that Shemirah Yitera is excessive, so a cow doesn't need a leash, Masuyu. So therefore, if you're going to say that it's a Masuy, meaning that Shemirah Yitera is considered a carrying, it's a burden, Asher lo ala alea olama rahmana. The Torah says that the paraduma cannot have a yoke on it. So therefore, how could you tell me if you placed a mosera, a leash, on a paraduma, it's still kasher? What do you mean? Certainly, it's not needed for the cow, because it doesn't need such a shemira. And still the halakha says that it's kashera. So you see from here what? That shemira yetera must not be considered a burden. So this would be a question on the opinion that says it is. Amar Abaye. So we have over here three answers. Abaye says, no, this is a special case where you're leading the para from one city to another city. So that she says, what's that case if you take the para adama from one city to another city? V'stam para pone l'makom marbit shela v'tzarik lo hazak shemolicha li'ir acheret. Which means when you take it from one city to another city, so it has a tendency to go from place to place. It has a tendency to get lost, so to speak, and therefore you have to hold it. And therefore, it's not considered extra protection. Meaning, when is it considered extra protection? If it's in its field, let's say, grazing, then it doesn't need the mosera, the leash. Then it would be considered, according to the Hakamim, carrying on Shabbat. But in the case of the Para Aduma, we're talking about a case where you're transferring it from one city to another city, therefore it's necessary that it has this mosera. And therefore, it's not considered a burden on it. And therefore, the para aduma still remains kasher. Rava Amar, Shani para de dame ayekarim. Rava gives a different answer. He says, doesn't matter where the para aduma is. The para aduma is very expensive. And since it's very expensive, so and rare, let's say, so therefore, one has to guard it more than a regular cow. So by a regular cow, maybe the leash is extra. But by paraduma, it's not. Third answer, Rabbi Na'amar, bemoredet. He says that that case of the paraduma is talking about a rebellious cow. And therefore, it's a wild cow. And therefore, for that, it needs a mosera. So let's just review what we just said in the past Gemara. The Gemara brought a mahloket amongst two hachamim regarding placing a afsar on a cow. Now a cow really does not need shemirah. The cow is really controlled without anything. So therefore one rabbi said the shemir is asur. And if you're doing it to control the cow, to protect it, it's asur because it's not necessary. The second opinion said no, the shemir mutar. Now obviously that opinion that says the shemir mutar must hold that even though it's excessive, it's extra, still since you're doing it for the shemirah of the animal, it is okay. So comes the Gemara and wants to know, who is that opinion that says the shemir mutar? So the Gemara concluded it is the opinion of Shemuel. Shemuel that said halakha follows Hananya, and Hananya was the opinion that said shemirah yitra is permissible. So that is the opinion of that statement that says the shamir mutar. So the Gemara then asked the question, fine, but according to the opinion that says that if you place something on the animal that's considered shemirah yitra, that's considered carrying, so that means that would be considered a burden. So we have a statement by Parah Aduma. Parah Aduma, it says, not during Shabbat, a regular Parah Aduma. The halakha says if you place the leash on it, it's not considered a burden. What do you mean? There's no purpose for a leash on a para aduma, because it's protected without it. So therefore it should be considered a burden. And the Torah says, Asher lo ala aleha ol, that you cannot place a burden on it, so why is it still kasher? So the Gemara gave three answers. Either it's talking about when you're moving the para aduma from one city to another city, where in that case it needs shemirah, the animal, the owner must lead the para aduma to one city to another city, or Rabba says it's expensive, dameh yekarim, or Rabina said bemoredet, where it's rebellious. So therefore, even the rabbis will agree in such a case of para aduma, the leash is necessary. Comes the Gemara and continues. Hasus basher. We said that the horse is able to go out with a collar. That was the sher. Collar was around its neck. And now the Gemara said, actually the Mishnah's statement was, and I quote from the Mishnah, this, V'chol ba'alei asher, and all those animals that wear a collar, yotzin basher, v'nimshachin basher. They go out with the collar, v'nimshachin, and they are pulled by the collar. So the Gemara wants to understand what is this double language here. They go out with the collar, and they are pulled by the collar. So the Gemara asks, "May yotzin u'may nimshachin?" Does it mean when it says they go out, and what does it mean when it says they may be pulled? Which means, what are these two statements being made over here? Which means, seemingly, what do you have to tell me that they're pulled by the collar? That's unnecessary. That's the whole purpose of the collar. The collar is there in order that the owner could control it. How does he control the animal? By pulling the collar. So it's obvious. What does it mean, yotzin and nimshachin? Obviously, it can go out with the collar because the collar is used to pull it. So Amar Ravuna, so Ravuna has a chidush in how to understand our Mishnah. O yotzin kiruchin, o nimshachin, which means the animal can go out with the leash karuch. Karuch means it's wrapped around the neck, which means even if it's not unraveled, where their owner, let's say, can pull from it, it's just, the leash is just tied, wrapped around the neck of the animal. That's called karuch. That still is permissible according to Rav Huna. Or nimshachin. Or certainly, Rav Huna would say, you're allowed to take the animal and pull it by the leash. So therefore, there is a chidush in the Mishnah. When the Mishnah says yotzin, yotzin means even if it is wrapped up, where it's not unraveled, where the owner, let's say, can pull from it. And what does nimshachin mean? Nimshachin means where it's definitely unraveled, let's say, where the owner can pull from it. Let's see that she. That she says, yotzin keruchin, haritzu'ah saviv savaran, that the ritzu'ah, the rope, is wrapped around the neck of the animal, v'afapi she'enu ohaza, even though he's not actually holding it. Lav masuihu. It's not considered a burden. because the animal also wears it that way also. Therefore, that would be considered the derech. Since it has a function and is served as a protection for the animal, even though you're not using it as a protection, it's normal for the animal to wear it even wrapped around its neck, and therefore, according to Rav Huna, it's able to go out kiruchin. And sure, and certainly nimshachin. How would they pull the animal with this item? They would put the shed around the neck, and then they would have a ring that was placed around the shed, or in the shed itself, so it was a ring, a metal ring, and in that ring they would place another strap, and they would pull the animal with it. So that's the Rav's interpretation of the Mishnah. O yotzin kiruchin, which is the animals can go out with the leash, the collar wrapped around the neck, or nimshachin, or by pulling it. Ushmael Amar, Shmuel says, no, yotzin nimshachin. They can only go out if you're pulling the leash. Ve'en yotzin keruchin. But they may not go out when it's wrapped around the neck. According to Shmuel, when it says yotzin, it means yotzin nimshachin, meaning you can only go out with it if they're going to use it to pull the animal. Which means as if it says yotzin nimshachin. They can only go out if it's going to be used to pull. However, just to wear it around their neck, that is not considered an adornment that, let's say, the animal typically would wear, and therefore would be considered carrying. The Gemara quotes a Braita. The Braita says, "Bematnita tana yotzin kiruchin limashech," which means the animal can go out on Shabbat with this leash around their neck, wrapped kiruchin. It's wrapped around its neck limashech, in order to be pulled. Now, what is this saying over here? So Rashi says, Kiruchim limashek, Kiruchim bereva. You wrap it around the animal's neck, but you leave some space, Shiachodi kanesh yado ben akrak lesavar. So you'll be able to stick your hand in between the leash and the neck of the animal, or yaniach me'at ben achevel, or you leave part of the rope hanging, Shimbat lebroach yimacharvi yuhazena, in order that you can grab it and take it. So therefore, this braita is obviously supporting the second opinion, which means it's supporting Shmuel's statement that it can only be worn on Shabbat if you're able to actually guide the animal. However, according to Rav Huna, even if it's not serving to guide the animal, even if it's totally wrapped around the animal's neck, where you cannot guide the animal with it, he still said it is permissible. So the question then is, hey, how could Rav Huna, you know, argue on a braita? So the Ritva answers that we have to say Rav Huna did not know this braita. Or you have to say that our Mishnah is arguing on the braita, and therefore Rav Huna chose to take our Mishnah as opposed to this braita. So again, the last point over here, Rabotai, what we just discussed, is the animal that we said in the Mishnah that can wear a sher. We have a machloket amongst the Amoraim, to what extent? Rav Huna's opinion is he can wear it in any way, meaning whether it's the regular way where it's used to draw the animal, or even if it's totally wrapped around the animal, which it cannot be used for drawing the animal or controlling the animal, still, in any event, it is permissible. Whereas Shmuel argues, Shmuel says it can only be worn, yotzin nimshachin, only when it is in its proper way where you can draw the animal with it. However, if it's wrapped around the animal's neck, you cannot use it. And it seems we have a braita to support the opinion of Shmuel. And Rav Huna will say either he didn't know the braita, or he is taking the opinion of Al Mishnah, the way he understood it, against that braita. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef comes along and says, Hazena lehudi agle debe Rav Huna yotzin batzerehen kruchim b'shabbat. I saw that the calves of Rav Huna, they used to go out on Shabbat wearing the atzar around their neck. So this shows over here, it seems, like the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Huna said it's enough for them to wear it kiruchin. So Rav Yosef says, yes, I saw Rav Huna not only said that halakha, but he actually practiced it. I mean, Rav Huna that we just learned earlier that says that the animal can go out with the afsad karuch around its neck, he actually did it. I saw his calves going around on Shabbat where the afsad was wrapped around its neck. Ki atah Rav Dimi, Amar Rav Hanina, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said, Mula'ot shel bet Rabbi, the mules of Rabbi's household, yotzot afsadehen b'Shabbat. They also went out with their afsad around the mules on Shabbat. So the Gemara wants to know, regarding Rav Dimi's report, in the mules of Rabbi, he just said they went out on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Ibaya, they were keruchin on imshachin. Did they go out with them wrapped around their necks, or were they actually put around where they could pull them? It's a big difference. Keruchin and imshachin. So the Gemara says, Tashema, come and listen. Kiyata, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. I'm sorry. Kiyata, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Hanina. When Rav Shmuel came over, he said, so clearly we have a statement of Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda that said that the mules of Rabbi also wore the afsar on Shabbat wrapped around their necks. It was also like we saw the opinion of Rabuna. So now the Gemara says, what did you really need this second testimony here of Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Hanina to tell us that Rabbi's animals, his mules, wore the afsar wrapped? You didn't need it. Why? So the rabbis said in front of Rav Aseh, and they said regarding this, what we just learned with Rabbi's mules, had Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. This second statement of Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, lo tzaricha, it's not necessary. Midrav Dimi Nafka. Already from the original statement of Rav Dimi telling us that the mules of Rabbi went out on Shabbat with the Afsar, it's already understood that they went out when they were Karuch. Because if you think to say that Rav Dimi, when he made the testimony about the mules, he just meant that they were, Rabbi put them around the animal in order to pull them. Midrav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Nafka. Already we know that already from a previous statement of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Machlifin Ayu Lifnei Rabbi. Again, we learned that they switched the cases in front of Rabbi, meaning Shelzu Bezu Mahu. They asked if you put different type of restraints on different animals. Amar Lifanav Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yosef answered this question. Kach Amar Abba. My father answered, Arba Behemot Yotzot Be'afsar. Four animals go out with the Afsar. Hasus Ve'Pered Ve'Gamal Ve'Hamor. The horse, the Pered was the mule, Ve'Gamal Ve'Hamor, the camel and the Hamor. Now, so the question was asked to Rabbi. Rabbi Yishmael answered it. Rabbi did not contradict it, which means it seems that he accepted the ruling. So therefore it's clear that the ruling is what? That a mule is able to go out with an afsar on Shabbat. So obviously nimshachin, Rabbi must hold, is permissible. Because already we know that one of the things that the hamor can wear on Shabbat is the afsar, in order to control it. So therefore, what do I need Rav Dimi to come along and tell me something that I already know? I know already the Rabbi holds that the Hamor can go out with an Afsar. From that question and answer that they had regarding switching, putting a different type of restraint on a different animal, and we saw a statement of Rav Aseh that clearly said it's permissible to put an Afsar on a Hamor, and it seems that the Rabbi agreed to it. So obviously, we know you can use it to control the animal on Shabbat, like I said, it's carrying. So it must be when Rav Dimi came over, he was telling us a bigger chidush. He was telling us that not only nimshachin, but it must have been also kiruchim. So therefore, it's obvious from Rav Dimi's statement alone, what did I need the second statement of Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda to come along and confirm that it was actually even karuch? It must have been karuch from the first statement. Amaru Rav Aseh, so Rav Aseh says, no. It's terich lehu. You need both statements. You need Rav Dimi's statement and Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda's statement. Dimi Rav Yehuda Nafka. Because if you only had the second statement of Rav Yehuda, so then already, which means if I would have the statement of Rav Yehuda, which was that was the statement that said that they asked him a question, what if you switch the shemirot and the different animals, and then they answered, the Bishmael answered in front of Rabbi that the hamor or the mule goes out with an afsar on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, "Even Rav Yehuda Nafka, if it was from that conversation that we said over there that the mule can go out with the afsar, I would have thought that maybe they said it in front of Rabbi, but maybe Rabbi did not accept it. Kamash malan, the Rav Dimi. No, so Rav Dimi comes along and says, no, Rabbi actually accepted it because his mules went out on Shabbat with a afsar. But if Rav Dimi's statement, we had it alone, I would say that maybe Rav Dimi's statement was only talking about where they were placed on the animal in order to pull them. About keruchin, no, but if they were wrapped around the animal's neck, no. To tell me that what? That the mules went out even wrapped around the neck where they weren't being used to pull the animal. So again, let's just review this outside one more time, this last piece. Bottom line, we had a statement of Rav Dimi that said the animals, the mules of Rabbi, went out on Shabbat with the Afsar. So the Gemara wanted to know, were they karuch, were they wrapped around, which would be a big hidush, or no, they were placed around the neck where you can pull it. That would be for Nimshachim. So comes the Gemara and says, well, we have a statement from Rav Yishmael Bar Yehuda, where he clearly said that these mules of Rabbi went out on Shabbat with the Afsar, karuch. So the Gemara says, you didn't need this statement of Rav Dimi. Already we know from a conversation that of Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, because it said in the statement of Yehuda Mar Shmuel that they posed a question in front of Rabbi. Are you allowed to place different protections on different animals? Are you allowed to switch the protections? So the Gemara said that Rabbi Ishmael jumped up in the name of his father, and he said, my father said that the horse and the mule, which we're talking about, goes out on Shabbat with an afsar. So he said it in front of Rabbi. So it seems that what? Rabbi agreed to that. So clearly you see what? That Rabbi holds, he can go out with an afsar. So therefore we know that already, that it's permissible. So the Gemara says, no, I would have thought if I just had that statement, yeah, Rabbi Ishmael said it in front of Rabbi. But who says Rabbi accepted it? Who says Rabbi agrees with that statement? So Rabbi Dimi came along and said he agrees with it, because he actually saw that the animals of Rabbi went out on Shabbat with an afsar. The mules went out with an afsar. If I could say all that Dimi was telling me, I would say maybe it's only because they were using it to pull. But how do you know to even go the second step, that it was even karuch, where it just wrapped around? So that's, we have the second statement of Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Amar of Hanina, that says no, it was even Nimshachin. Comes the Gemara and continues. The Gemara says, Umazin alein betublan bimkoman. So we said, if, let's say, the collar of the animal becomes tameh, so you're allowed to sprinkle it with the waters of the para aduma, even when the animal is still wearing it. You do not have to take it off. Now Tosfot tells us a hidush, what the hidush of sprinkling it while it's still on the animal. The din is that when you sprinkle the waters of the para aduma, if let's say you're sprinkling it, in this case, where you're trying to hit the collar itself with the sprinkling, let's say the waters that you're sprinkling hit the animal first. You missed, you had bad aim. It hit the animal first, then all the waters of the para aduma in that keli become pasul. So therefore you might have thought that we're not going to take a chance, that if you're going to sprinkle what's on the animal, you're going to take a risk that the man is going to sprinkle the animal first, and what's going to happen to the waters of the para aduma? They're going to be rendered pasul, therefore you can't use them. Kamash malan the Mishnah, no. We don't suspect. The sprinkler knows what he's doing, and therefore he'll be careful that even when the animal is wearing it, it's permissible to sprinkle it while it is on. In Vitovlam and Kumam, we learned that the animal can go down to the mikveh if the collar became tameh while he's wearing it. He'll just dunk his head under the water, his neck in the water, in order to dip it. So it comes the Gemara and says, Lememra de bene kabonetu maninu. Obviously, you're telling me that these collars over here can receive tumah. How could that be? Vatinan, we learned in the Mishnah to the contrary. Tabat Adam Teme'ah. The ring of a person is susceptible to receive Tum'ah. Which means, let's say, a ring that he puts on his finger. How do we know it's susceptible to receive Tum'ah? That she says, the Tachshitu, because it's a piece of jewelry. Midyan, we know from the spoils when we fought Midyan, the Torah tells us all the different pieces of jewelry that we recovered from the war. It's Adat, Samid, let's say the bangles and the necklaces, etc. And all these pieces of jewelry that we recovered from the war, it says, which means you have to purify them. So we know that jewelry that's worn by human beings, are susceptible to Tum'ah. However, the Gemara says, again, I read, V'atenan tabat adam tume'ah, v'tabat behemah, but the ring of an animal, for example, the collar, or let's say the rings of utensils, that would be, let's say, that she says, it seems they would put a ring, let's say, on the handles of different utensils. That's Bechirim Ush'ar Kol HaTabot, and for that matter, all other types of rings that she's just going to ask you at the Delet. For example, different rings that they place for the door, for decorative purposes, let's say, I guess, to hang things. So all those type of items, again, Tabat Behema, Bechirim, Ush'ar Kol HaTabot, and all other types of Tabot, Tehorot, they are pure, which means that she, they lav mishum takshit mitame'u, they don't have a status of a takshit, of a and a jewelry, the entakshit the kli, because these are, let's say, part of the vessel. Let's say, for example, the one that they attach to the handle of the vessel. That's not to adorn the vessel, because the rule is entakshit the kli. Once it's attached to the vessel, it's considered a part of the vessel itself. V'kli namelav, it's not going to be considered a the vessel proper to receive tuma, ela takshit kli. It's just an addition to the kli. So therefore, when they are attached to the kli, obviously they're considered part of the kli. And therefore, whatever happens to the kli regarding tum'ah, that little ring that's attached to it will also become tameh. But we're talking, let's say, the ring of this kli is separate. Since it's not a piece of jewelry, and it's really not considered a kli on its own, it's just a takshit to a keli, so it does not receive tum'ah. But for our purposes, one of the things that we said does not receive tum'ah is the rings of animals. For example, the collar. So how do you have a case of tahara, where you're making hazaah, where you're making tibilah? We just said that the rings of animals do not receive tumah. So comes the Gemara and gives a few answers to this question. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak, Rabbi Yitzhak said, Beba'in minoy adam lenoy behema. Rabbi Yitzhak says an interesting answer. He says, we're talking about a collar that originally was used for a person. It seems this collar over here, where a human being was able to wear it. So it was originally used for human beings. We said that it becomes a takshit for a human being. Those types of kelim have a status of receiving tumah, and it became tameh. After it became tameh, you decided to use it now as the collar of an animal. So therefore, since it started off for a purpose of a human being, and the kedim of the tabaot of human beings of Bnei Adam become tameh, so even though you switched over now to use it for the animal, before you use it for the animal, you have to purify it. So that's the only case, which means if it was used originally for the animal, you're right, you don't have to dip it. But this case of the Mishnah was, it was a tabaot that was used for a person first. And then what happened, it became tameh. Then he decided to use it for his animal. Before he puts it on the animal, he has to purify it. That's the answer of Rav Yitzhak. Rav Yosef gives a different answer. Rav Yosef Amaru Il Vadam Moshech Ba'en Et HaBehema. He says, no, since the person uses the collar to pull the animal, that's considered a utensil of a person. That's considered Taba'at Adam, because he uses it. And Rav Yosef brings a proof. Milo Tanya, didn't we learn in the Braita? Makel Shel Behema Shel Matechen Mekabel Tum'ah. Let's say the stick that you use to guide the animal. That she says, "Makel shel behema shirodin bo tagamal." Yeah, where they guide it, or they hit the animal, or they used to use a certain stick that she says, "Lanhigat adov," in order to tame a bear. So these items over here, the Gemara says, if they're made out of metal, they receive tum'ah. Matam. What's the reason for this? Which means these are seemingly kelim that are used for animals, and kelim that are used for animals should not receive tumah. Says no, hu il v'adam rodeh b'hem. Since the person over here is using these staffs to hit the animal, so therefore they're considered what? A service to the man, and therefore they're considered that his kelim. Hakanemes. So the same thing by the collar, hu il v'adam moshech b'hem. Since the person pulls the animals with them, so therefore they're going to have a status of tumah. So again, we have two answers to answer the question of the Gemara. How did these rings become tameh? Either Rabbi Yitzhak's answer. Rabbi Yitzhak's answer is what? That originally they were serving human beings, and they became tameh. Then they switched it over to a collar of an animal. But once you switch it over, you still have to purify it. According to the second answer of Rabbi Yosef, no. Since, bottom line, human beings are using it to, let's say, control the animal, so that's considered a vessel of a human being. That's like a keli of a human being, has the ability to receive tum'ah. Comes the Gemara further and says, v'tovlam b'mkoman, we said that what? That these animal collars, you're able to dip them even when the animal is wearing them. Now, again, the animal's wearing this collar, seemingly, when it's around the animal's neck, it's very tight. So the Gemara says, v'aika hatzitza. So what are you talking about? There's going to be interference. How is the water going to get in? Which means it's so firmly attached, the water can't really get in between the collar. We know for something to become tahor, the water has to touch all the places. Now, let's just review how this collar worked. They wore the collar around the animal, and they would have a ring. Now, that ring is a metal piece. We're talking about that ring, as we just learned, that's what you're dipping. Now, that ring was fastened very tightly on the rope itself, on the efsad, and therefore, since it's very tight, you're not going to be able to attack, that the water cannot go in and touch the entire ring, because it's fastened very tightly. So Gemara says, Va'ika hatzitza. The water cannot get in. So the Gemara says, Amar bi'ami be'shiritkan. We're talking about it where you hammered it out. What does that mean? You banged it a little. You pounded the collar with a hammer, therefore widening it a little. And therefore, when you insert it into the collar, so therefore you made it a little wider, so therefore there is actual space. You banged it a little to give it a little space where the water will be able to go in. So comes the Gemara and says, who gave this answer? Rabbi Ami. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yosef. Let us say that Rabbi Ami holds like Rabbi Yosef. Meaning, in the previous answer we said, the reason why these rings become tameh, because they're being used by a person, since they're using the serving a person, so therefore they have a status of tabat adam, and therefore they can receive tumah. So the Gemara wants to say, let us say that Ami subscribes to that answer. The Ikar Rabbi Yitzhak, if he's going to say like Rabbi Yitzhak, the amar bebain min noy adam lenoy bema, where we're saying that the ring became tameh only because it started off as a noy, it started off as a collar for a human being, and then it was transferred. That answer will not work for Rav Ami. Why? Kevan d'ritchan avadu maaseh. Once already you hammered out these collars, so therefore you did a physical change to them. Ufarhala tumah minai. When automatically the tumash will depart from it. Ditnan, because we have a rule. Mishnah, kol hakelim yodim lidei tumatam b'machshava. For a vessel to become susceptible to tumah, it's enough to have machshava. What does that mean? Machshava. Rashi, Yordin lidei tumah b'machshava, me'achar she'ishev alav she'yanihenu kemot. Once already a person's fashioning a vessel, and in his mind he says, I'm finished, I'm going to leave the vessel like this. At that point, once in his mind he already says he's finishing the vessel is finished in his mind, it can become susceptible at that point. Because until it's a keli, it cannot become tameh. But once in his mind, the one that's making it says, that's it, the keli is finished, so at that point it can become metameh, meaning susceptible to tum'ah, even with mahshava. But once already it becomes susceptible, it cannot emerge from the susceptibility of tum'ah, ela b'shinui ma'aseh. We actually have to make a physical change to it, which means you actually have to do something. Rashi says, me'achar she'ishev ala or la'asot shatiach. For example, let's say in your mind a person had leather and he decided in his mind, that's it, I'm using it as a rug. Finished. He's using it as a mat. Yadad yidei tumah. Immediately becomes susceptible because in his mind he finished. V'imhazar fa'ishev ala v'tsu'at v'sandalim. But let's say in his mind he said, you know what, I changed my mind, I'm not finished, I want to now use it to make shoes. So now that thought cannot take it out of the susceptibility of tumah until he actually does a ma'aseh. When he has to take out his knife and start to cut it in order to make shoes out of that piece of leather, then it can emerge from the rule of tumah. So therefore, the same thing over here. Once already, these kelim started as human beings, they were tameh. If you tell me the case is shirit khan, that you had to bang the collar out in order to make the ring fit loosely around it, so therefore you made a ma'aseh, so the tum'ah will go off automatically. So therefore must be that we want to say that Ameh must not hold to this reason, because he said that the way you get the ring, the water to go through is b'shirit khan. But if he held like Rav Yitzhak, once you made it khan, once you're ready, you hammered it out, already it'll become tahor, there'll be no reason to make a Tibirah. And I must be old, the reason is like Rabbi Yosef, that these items over here are serving human beings, even when they're on the animal, they're still serving human beings. And if they become tameh, you have to dip them. And therefore, banging them is not going to do anything. They still need to be because they're still serving human beings. Banging them doesn't take the tumah, still considered a tabat of an adam, and therefore he said you have to bang them in order to get the water to go through them. So the Gemara wants to say that Rav Amir must hold like Rabbi Yosef. So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, I could say no. Rav Amir can even go like Rav Yitzchak. Savar la kerabi Yehuda de'amar ma'aseh letaken lav ma'aseh. Which means, I could say that Rav Amir holds like the opinion of the Yehuda that says, when do we say if you do a ma'aseh to an item that it does not become susceptible to tum'ah? That's only when the ma'aseh is destructive. However, if like the case of the leather, where he was ripping the leather now to make the shoes, so that ma'aseh over there is ripping the leather. However, if it's constructive, which is this case over here, you're banging the collar to get the ring around it, so therefore that type of ma'aseh does not take away the susceptibility of tumah. Detanya, because we have a bright Rabbi Yehuda Omer, lo amar shinui ma'aseh letaken. When do we say shinui ma'aseh is able to take away tumah? Not when it's constructive, ela lekalkel, but when it's destructive. Only a destructive physical change can take the item away from the tumah. So therefore, hammering the collar obviously is constructive, because we want it to fit the animal. So therefore, it's going to it's constructive to fit the animal. So therefore, the Gemara says that Rav Amir can even be going like that opinion. So again, let's just review this last point. Rav Amir, the question of the Gemara was, how could you dip this collar? It's very tight around the animal. And since it's very tight around the animal, the water cannot go in between, the collar cannot hit everything, cannot hit the ring. So the Gemara says, no, it's about where you banged it out. Or it's talking about where you don't have to bang it out. It's serving the human being. So the Gemara said, So the Gemara said, no, where you actually banged it out, and therefore you made it loose. And the Gemara is saying that this answer, Shinitkan, can be going according to the previous answers, either of Rav Yitzhak or Rav Yosef. Comes the Gemara and says another answer. B'matnita tani, in the Braita we learned b'mchudlalin. Chudlalin means we're talking about collars that have wide holes. Very easy answer. So therefore, since it's a wide hole, therefore there is a gap between the ring and the collar itself. And therefore, since we're talking about a collar that has a wide hole, so therefore the ring, obviously there's space in between it, so therefore you have no problem. So again, we have two answers to the question. Either it's talking about where you banged it out in order to give room, or it's talking about b'mchudladim, where the collars have wide holes, and therefore there's a gap between the ring and the collar where the water can pass. Comes again, Gemara says, "Sha'al talmid ehad migalila alyon et Rabbi Eliezer." There was a student from the Upper Galilee that asked the question to Rabbi Eliezer. Shamati, he says, "I heard sheholkin ben tabat le tabat." I heard that there is some halachic distinction between one type of ring and another type of ring. In rings, there's a certain halakha that there's a difference. Amar lo shema lo shemate ela le'anyan Shabbat. Yeah, maybe you heard a distinction regarding the laws of Shabbat, which means there are different type of rings on Shabbat that you're allowed to carry in the public domain, and certain type of rings that you're not allowed. Yeah, well, as the Gemara will discuss later on, di le'anyan tumah, because regarding, let's say, the laws of tumah, da veda hadahi, it's really the same thing. There's no difference between one ring and another, which means all rings regarding the laws of tum'ah have the same status. They're all susceptible to tum'ah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ulanyan tum'ah daveda ahati? Is that true? That regarding the laws of tum'ah, all rings have the same status? Ve'atenan tabat adam tume'ah. For example, the ring of a person is susceptible to tumah, but tabat be'emah v'kidim mushal kula tabat teorot. As regarding, let's say, the rings of animals, they are tahor. So you see, not all rings are the same, even regarding the laws of tumah. There's a difference between tabat adam and tabat be'emah. Ki ka'amar le iu nameh da'adam ka'amar le. Which means when the Bili Ezer told the student that there is no difference in the laws of Tum'av rings, he meant rings that are made for people. There is no differences. The Gemara u'da'adam, da'aveda, ahati. Even on rings regarding a person, are all rings that are worn by people the same regarding the laws of Tum'ah? Ve'at, and yeah, didn't we learn in the Braita, taba'at. A ring. Shitkina lagor ba motnav. You used it in order to, let's say, as a buckle for your belt. Ulkasher ba ben ketefav. Or you used it, let's say, to tie his sleeves between his shoulders. Now she tells us that they used to put, let's say, a band around the sleeve, let's say, by the shoulder, in order to gather the sleeve up. So they would put a ring around, let's say, his shoulder. So all these items over here, it says what these type of rings, whether it's the buckle of the belt or it's the item that they wore above their shoulder, they are what? Tehora. They are not capable of becoming tameh. Velo amru teme'ah ela shel etzba belvad. Which means they only said that a ring is tameh. What type of rings? Only rings that are worn on the finger. So therefore you see there's a difference between Tumah of Taba'ot, which means you have the Taba'at of a ring of a person that's susceptible to Tumah, as opposed to a different type of Taba'at that either he wore on the buckle of his belt or above his shoulder, it's not. So therefore, even in Taba'ot of Adam, you have a Chiluk in the regards of Tumah. So the Gemara says, no, ki ka'amar le'ihu named de'etzba ka'amar le, which means when Abili Isis said to the student that there's no difference between rings, he was referring to the rings of a finger, which was regarding taba'ot that they were on the finger. There is no difference of tum'ah. The Gemara says, "Would the etzba da'beda ahati?" What do you mean? When it comes to the rings of a finger, are they all the same? Ve'atena, didn't we learn in the Mishnah taba'at shel matechet? Let's say you have the ring is made out of metal. The chotama shel almog teme'ah, the signet which they would place in the ring itself, if it's made out of almog. Almog is wood. So the ring is teme'ah, susceptible. Why? Because you follow the ring itself. Since the ring is metal, and the metal keli is susceptible to tum'ah, it is tameh. He shel almog. But let's say the ring itself is made out of wood, the chotamah shel matechet, and the signet is made out of metal, then it is tehora. So you see again, even in rings, there is a chiluk between tum'ah. If the ring itself is metal, and the signet is wood, so the ring is susceptible to tum'ah. Whereas if the ring is wood, and the signet is metal, so it's not susceptible. So even in rings that they wear, there is a chiduk. So the Gemara says, "Ki kamar le'iyu name kula shel matechet kamarla." Yes, he was referring to rings that are made out of metal that are worn by human beings. There is no difference. So therefore, we really narrowed it down to that one case. So let's just review again. When that student asked, he said, "I heard that there's a difference between tabat and tabat." So the Rabbi Eliezer told him, "Yes, there's only a difference between rings regarding Shabbat, because certain rings you can wear on Shabbat, it's considered not carrying, and other rings you cannot. However, the Inyan Tum'ah, there is no difference. Meaning, a ring that is made out of metal, even if its signet is made out of almog, which is wood, there is no difference regarding Tum'ah. All those type of rings are susceptible to Tum'ah. But Inyan Shabbat, there would be a difference between different type of rings." The odd sha'al, last case of the Gemara, and the student asked another question. Shamati shechokin ben mahat la mahat. I heard that there's some distinctions in halakha between different type of needles, but I don't know what the distinction was regarding. Mahat is a needle. Amar le, so Rabbi Eliezer told him, Shem elo shamati ein al inyan Shabbat. Yes, you must have heard the inyan Shabbat, which means a lady who wears, let's say, a needle that has an eye, let's say a sewing needle, and she wears it in the public domain on Shabbat, that's considered a melacha, because that's not worn usually for decorative. However, if she wears a needle that does not have an eye, so therefore it would be permissible from the Torah to wear it. So on Shabbat there's a difference between needles. If it has an eye, she cannot wear it in the Torah, because it's considered carrying. However, if it doesn't have an eye, that's considered decorative, and therefore she can wear it. But regarding the laws of Tum'ah, all needles are the same, which means it seems that they are all susceptible to Tum'ah. The Gemara says, "Ulanyan Tum'ah Daveda Ahati." Is that so? Regarding the laws of Tum'ah, are all needles the same? V'atenan, we learned, Mahat Shinital Choda or Uksa. If a needle, let's say, whose eye, the eye or the point, that's the Choda, if let's say it was removed, so now it's not considered a keli anymore. So therefore, it becomes pure. It cannot become tameh. However, if it's complete, then it's considered a keli. and therefore can become tamisu. You see, even in needles, there is a chiluk between whether it's a complete keli or let's say it broke. No, it meant when he told the student that there's no distinction, he's talking about complete needles. The Gemara says, "Bishlema, daveda hati." Even on complete needles, is there no distinction? Vahatena, and then we learn in the Mishnah, "Maha she'elta haluda." Let's say you have a complete needle that became rusty. If it becomes so rusty that you cannot sew with it, what do you mean you can't sew with it? Because let's say the rust is going to go on the vest, on the garment, so therefore it's not usable. So then it's tahor. But if it doesn't obstruct the sewing, then it's tamea. So you see, even in a complete needle, there's chilukim in regards to ma on a complete rusty needle. So Gemara says, as a side point, the amri they better be an eye to be an eye. Explained the who shed is shuman nikar. This is talking about where the impression of the rust is discernible. That makes the needle not usable, which means not functional as a keli, and therefore it's not going to be susceptible to tumah. So bottom line, you do see a difference between needles even regarding tumah. No, we're talking about complete needles that are polished and therefore they're not rusty. So therefore there's no chiduk. The Gemara says, shifa, daveda hati, even on polished needles that are complete, there's no difference between the laws of tumah. Vahatanya, didn't we learn, mahat, a needle, ben nikuba, ben ena nikuba, whether the needle is pierced, which means it has an eye, or not, mutal italtela b'shabbat. Regarding Shabbat, it's not considered mukseh. You can move it. Why? Because bottom line, every needle has a functionality on Shabbat in order to take out, let's say, a thorn, or let's say a splinter that's in a person's finger. So therefore, whether it has a hole in it or not, regarding Shabbat, both are functional to be used. But the difference between complete needles is which means the piercing makes a difference for the laws of Tum'ah. If it has the pierced hole in it, then it becomes susceptible to Tum'ah. Which means it's a polished needle and it's finished. But there's still a difference between Nikuba and Ena Nikuba. Let's read that in Nashi. Nashi says, Velo amru Nikuba, haluka lehilchotea ele inyan Tum'ah bilvad. The Nikuba mekabele Tum'ah, which means if it has a hole in it, it can receive Tum'ah. Veshe Ena Nikuba lo. So you see again, incomplete, unpolished needles, there's still a chiluk between nikuba and not nikuba. The Gemara finally answers, "Hatargema abaye aliba derava begolme." He explained it. We're talking about over here what type of needles. They weren't finished yet, which means if it's a finished needle, you're right. There'll be a chiluk between whether it has a hole in it or not, which means if they finished it, which means if it has a hole in it, it's considered a keli. If it doesn't have a hole in it, it's not considered a keli. But we're talking about over here where there is no difference. Hatargema abaye aliba deraba begolme. What is golme? It's talking about an unfinished needle. Lashi. Let's read that. Lashi. Begolme. Shu golem. That's just a piece of unfinished product. Shenekesam menachuta. He just took it out of the sheet of metal. Ve'omed et inakev. And the intention is eventually to put a hole in it. Hatamu dechozman shelo nekba, so long as there is no hole in it, ena mekabelet tum'ah, which means the case where we said there's a difference, whether it has a hole in it or not, is talking about a specific case, where you took a piece of metal, and the intention is eventually to place a eye in it. So Rashi says, dechozman shelo nekba, so long as you didn't put the hole in it yet, ena mekabelet tum'ah. Why? Because you didn't finish the keli yet. Your intention is to go further with it. It has to be functional. It has to be complete keli. That you finished it entirely. But in that case, on Shabbat, there would be no difference. There, even if your intention was to make it, let's say, a hole in it, but on Shabbat would not be considered mukseh, because really you can still use it sometimes to take out a thorn. But let's say a needle that was totally finished in its melacha, for example, a certain type of straight pin, she'ena omedet inakev, that's not going destined to be put a hole in it, da veda ahati l'tum'ah. So again, regarding the laws of Tum'ah, there would be no difference on a completed item, whether it has a hole in it or not. Which means, once it's already completed, because your intention is not to make a hole in it, so for Tum'ah, the deen is the same. Both of them will be susceptible for Tum'ah. We're discussing over here, when the Gemara said that on a polished needle, that there is a difference between Nikuba, it says Mahat ben Nikuba ben Ena Nikuba. there's a difference regarding tum'ah that was only talking about an unfinished needle, which means if it's unfinished, so then we're going to make a chiluk, which is until it has the, since this kavan has to put a hole in it, so until that point it's not tameh. But if his intention is not to put the hole in it, then it can become tameh. So that's an unfinished. Unfinished is going to make a chiluk between whether it has the hole in it or not. But if it's finished, there will be no chiluk whether it has a hole in it or not. Since it's considered a kli ma'aseh, which means it's a fashioned utensil, it can receive tumah. But regarding Shabbat, there is no difference, even in the case where he's intending to put a hole in it. At that point, still it's non-mukseh, because you can use it to take out a thorn. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen ve'amen.